kept coming back to as my the faith that I understood was the faith that I had growing up in a strict religion. So as I said, I was having a hard time reconciling the faith that I grew up with and the faith that Unity teaches and New Thought teaches. So, and I know a lot of us have had this issue. So back then, for me, faith was something I had to do, even though it didn't make sense. It didn't make sense to me, even when it felt wrong. I guess we could call that kind of faith fake faith, kind of like fake news. It wasn't real. It felt inauthentic. It felt made up, kind of on the fly. I felt like I had to have faith in someone else and their interpretation of a book written thousands of years ago that didn't really resonate with me. How it was interpreted to me, it just fell flat. It was a type of faith that felt unsteady, disappointing, arbitrary. Yet according to everyone around me, if I didn't have this type of faith, it would lead to my own destruction. And by that I mean it would lead me to the kingdom, to heaven. So if I didn't have this faith, I wouldn't go to heaven, or I wouldn't go to that place that's beyond this time and place, according to someone else. So I really felt a bit put off by faith. So with this conflicted version in mind, as I was going into this talk, I did what any of us would do when we're not sure of something. I Googled it. Which, of course, was not really that helpful, but here's what I found. The Oxford Dictionary defines faith as complete trust or confidence in someone or something else. Okay, that was kind of like, all right. But this second definition was pretty hilarious. It said, a strong belief in God or in the doctrines of a religion based on spiritual apprehension rather than proof. So this definition nailed it for me as far as the faith I was accustomed to. You know, it was the type of faith that was based on fear and the unknown, apprehension. So as is indicated here in these cultural definitions, and true in many cultures and societies, faith can be seen as something truly remarkable, or it can be seen as kind of a dirty five-letter word that is nothing more than wishful thinking or fanciful hope of a reality that may or may not come true. We are oftentimes taught to have faith in something, right? In a person, in a religion, in a book, in a belief system, in a government, in a guru, something out there. Rarely are we taught to have faith in ourselves and our own connection to God, to Source. As such, faith has been described as many things, including blind, unprovable, lofty, superstitious, unreasoned, illogical, passive, uncritical, dangerous, unhinged. And if I were to be perfectly honest, this was the version of faith I resonated most with up until a few years ago, when Spirit woke me up to the truth of a new kind of faith that I myself was embarking on my own, just from the inside. And that was spiritual faith, which is what Unity teaches and is in direct opposition to the other kind of faith that I had known. So for me, true spiritual faith was something I could root my life in and never worry it would falter or fail. Spiritual faith sees clearly and is evidenced in the most brilliant of ways. Spiritual faith is dynamic, active, powerful, loving, patient, calm, kind, sincere, and I would go so far as to say provable. I have found that spiritual faith is impossible to do, as there are no instructions or manual or someone to tell you how it needs to be done. No, it is something that lives inside of us, that we embody in our own way. This is the type of faith that Jesus had, and it's the type of faith I want to talk to you about today. So my talk title this morning is Faith is an Inside Job. And in this talk, I want to share with you four things. So the first is what faith is not, and how this Having this kind of faith can lead to something I like to call faith quakes, when our faith is on shaky ground. Second, we'll talk about what faith is. Obviously, that would be helpful, according to New Thought and Unity teachings, rather than the dictionary's kind of limited, sad version. I will also share with you my newfound understanding and definition of faith, and I hope it helps you as much as it's helping me actively right now in my life. Like I said, I needed this. Next, we will look at faith through the eyes of a caterpillar, because why not, right? And finally, I will share with you Amber's faith formula. It's a little bit complicated. It's a math equation. When I'm not super strong at math, so I'll walk you through it. So please stay till the end. Okay, so let's talk first about what faith is not. So first of all, faith is not a belief. As a matter of fact, Ram Dass says, faith is what is left when your beliefs have all been blown to hell. Right? Next, faith is not outside of us. In her book, Divine Audacity, Linda Martella Witsit says this: to externalize faith is to disclaim our spiritual power. Faith's power is not in someone or something else. Those who say they have faith in another person or in God believe that someone outside themselves has the power to control, to fix, and to eliminate human problems. God is not a someone who acts, but a principle that is. Again, this resonates as truth for me, and I think it resonates for anyone at Unity or in the New Thought movement, because it feels true. Next, faith is not an experience. And Ram Dass goes on to say this: experiences, even spiritual experiences, come and go. As long as you base your faith in experience, your faith is going to be constantly flickering because your experiences keep changing. So, growing up in a religious cult where the charismatic leader proclaimed that he had the one and only truth was somewhat spellbinding. Even though I didn't really believe him, and it did not resonate with me, his message, at all, it was easy to get sucked in. He was so confident and so convincing and so filled with certainty that those who followed him did so sincerely and with faith. As humans, it is our very nature to look for that which is greater than ourselves. And because it does not occur to us to look in the most obvious place, which is inside of ourselves, right in our hearts, which is what Jesus was offering, we are taught instead to look elsewhere. We're taught to look outside. And this is how faith quakes happen. What is a faith quake? I'm glad you asked. It's a term I actually made up, and I looked, and there turns out there's a book called Faith Quakes, but it actually has nothing to do with my version of faith quakes. And so the definition I have is: a faith quake is what happens when we are rooted in relative truths that are subject to change and shift over time. Now, relative truths are what this physical world is made of. It's just the nature of it. Which means if we root ourselves in anything outside of us, a belief system, a person, a book, a religion, an experience, whatever it is, then we are essentially rooting ourselves in something that will shift and change and deteriorate over time. It's just the nature of this world. And when it does, this is when a faith quake occurs. It might be a 3 on the Richter scale and barely shake the ground we walk on, or it could be a 10 and completely rock our entire world. Regardless, we have all experienced them many times, often, throughout our lives. So getting back to the cult I grew up in, the charismatic leader proclaimed that he was the chosen one and that the world was either going to come to an end before he died or directly after. And he said this to everyone many times. He said, and he was 93, if he died and the world did not come to an end, then he was a liar. Okay. Well, guess what happened? Pretty obvious. He died, and the world did not come to an end. As a matter of fact, it kept going. So you can imagine that many in the church were shocked and dismayed that the faith that they had put their entire lives into was built on very shaky ground and wasn't actually true. Dare I say, it was a bunch of lies. And it created huge faith quakes for many, including the church itself, which the very premise, the very foundation it was built on, completely crumbled out from under it. Everything changed. I personally felt relief and thought, phew, glad I didn't have to put my fake faith into that guy anymore and that religion. Okay, so we've established what faith is, that faith is not a belief, it's not outside of us, and it's not an experience. So what is it? So I found many definitions in Unity and New Thought, but here's the one that kind of I came up with that combined a bunch of different definitions, and that is, faith is a transformative opening of our spiritual mind to divine mind, or God. So, and we'll break this down a little bit, but I woke up yesterday morning with an inspired thought from divine mind that this journey of transformation through faith can be compared to the life of a caterpillar. And it occurred to me that we are, work with me on this one, spiritual butterflies having a caterpillar experience. I kind of like this metaphor. I'm going to tell you why this came to me. So as many of you know, my mother passed away in 2016. And about 3 months before she died, we did a spirit guide reading with a very talented energy worker. Now, I want to tell you that, you know, this was something my mother would have never dreamed of doing, ever. You know, under any normal circumstances, no way would she have done this. But of course, when you're dying, nothing is normal. And so, therefore, sky's the limit with what you're willing to do. And so she was willing to do this. And it was hugely, profoundly, magically transformative for her. The woman that we went to confirmed to my mom through her guides that her body was in fact dying. This news we knew was true, but it still felt really sad to hear it confirmed. And in a nervous voice, my mom asked, "When? When will I die?" It was interesting because the guide didn't seem to really understand her question at first. And once she did, she got really enthusiastic. And she replied, "Oh, you mean liftoff." And, you know, we did not know what she meant. My aunt and my mom and I looked at each other like, "What is she talking about, liftoff?" So the woman went on to explain that the departure of the soul from the body is like the emergence of a butterfly from its cocoon. The body goes through a period of agitation and resistance as it is dying. And then once it is ready, the soul lifts off and is returned to its true home, back to God, back to divine mind, back to light. And so yesterday morning, I was thinking, what if this is the same exact thing that happens when we consciously and intentionally open to faith? What if instead of the death of the body, which is an extreme version of this metaphor, the agitation and resistance we feel in our everyday life is actually guiding us to release that which no longer serves us? Those shadow qualities we all have, and those beliefs that we all have in separation and lack, they're strong beliefs. What if through faith, we are allowing our spiritual mind to lift off and become a part of divine mind, a direct connection to source? This is the type of faith that Jesus embodied, and this is what he came here to show us, that through faith, we are able to open to Christ consciousness, to divine mind, to God. And with that, anything is possible. But how? That's an important question. So to take this caterpillar metaphor a step further, we can imagine that the transformative opening to faith, we can imagine that as the cocoon state. And now I'm not a scientist, so I don't know like the stages of metamorphosis or anything. But I do know that in order for the caterpillar to transform, it requires a period of stillness and inner work for change to happen. This cocoon state is similar to what we might experience with our own spiritual practice. which often includes solitude, you know, prayer, meditation, reading, affirmations. It's a time to go inward and reflect, a time to connect to our spiritual heart and mind. After all, faith is an inside job. Spiritual mind. Okay, so let's look at this. Spiritual mind, according to Unity teachings, the power center of the body where faith is located is at the very center of our head, between the ears and the eyes. So this is where inner vision and inner hearing are developed through our spiritual practice. So, and this is where we see things our physical eyes are unable to see and hear things our physical ears are incapable of hearing. So, you know, our eyes obviously see what's outward and our ears hear what's around us. But, and these are things that we practice 24 hours a day because they're just there. Whereas our inner hearing, our inner vision, that's a muscle we rarely exercise unless we have a very active spiritual practice. And you'll notice that this, you know, this, they call it the Christ center, is not located in the front of the mind where all the chatter happens, where all the high energy thinking goes on. No, it's strategically placed further back behind all of that, behind all the noise. And it's waiting patiently for us to open to it. Okay, and finally, what are we opening to? Divine mind. Unity co-founder Charles Fillmore described divine mind as the one and only reality. It is the oneness in which we are all a part. It is the absolute truth of God, and it is something we can root our lives in and never experience a shift or a change or deterioration. This is where spiritual law and spiritual truth resides. Faith quakes are impossible here. This is Christ consciousness, and we are all capable of it. The writer of Hebrews defines faith as, and we heard it in Reverend David's meditation, and I love this, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11:1. Okay, so I had a drawing commissioned by an artist I used to be married to. His name is Nathan O'Neill, and he's a very talented artist. And so I feel that this drawing perfectly exemplifies this definition of truth. And I've got it on a slide here, but I'm going to show you it. So you'll see this. Isn't that pretty? So you'll see this is a beautiful caterpillar meditating, naturally, as caterpillars are wont to do. And you can see that the butterfly is in his field. So the caterpillar is opening up to divine mind and is receiving that which is not seen. The truth that faith is a deep inner knowing, that which is sought is already ours for the taking. And, you know, this also exemplifies the fact that she, it looks like a he, but it's a she, is a spiritual butterfly having a caterpillar experience, right? Okay, so how then do we cultivate faith in our lives? Let's talk about that. Get that to stand. Okay. So I read the following excerpt from a book titled Biblical Favorites. And I love this because, like I said, growing up, the Bible didn't resonate with me. That's only because the interpretation of it to me fell flat, just bounced right off. So having the Bible interpreted metaphysically is very helpful, and it resonates in a way that it's never resonated before. So reading this this part of this book called Biblical Favorites by Jim Lewis was really helpful. And in it, he writes on faith. Paul tells us in Romans 10:17, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So in this case, hearing means that we have to learn to listen with complete and total receptivity, with our inner ears. We can't listen or hear if our minds are fixed and solidified already with many false beliefs that we think are true. So we just have to be open to maybe everything that we think is true might not be. We must be willing to say, God, divine mind, spirit, I want to know the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. We must also take time each day to listen. To listen means that we make no effort to send special messages of instruction to the universe. It means we become still and listen so that divine mind, God, the good, spirit, can get our attention. If we insist on having it our own way and believing what is not true, then we are not listening. If we refuse to accept the possibility of change in our lives in any area, then we are not listening. If we do not listen, then we do not hear divine mind within us. This means that we do not have revealed to us the meaning and purpose of our lives. It means that we do not get spiritual guidance and understanding. He goes on to explain that listening is not easy. It is ego-shattering, for many of our cherished desires must be given up. Many of our pleasurable habits must be given up. If we are not willing to do this, we will remain on a plateau. We have to keep listening when we do not hear. We should remember that the practice of listening is something that we are going to do for the rest of our lives. We have to keep listening even after we get wonderful and pleasing instructions. We have to keep listening when we hear what is pleasing and what we want to do, but especially keep listening when we hear what we do not want to hear and know we must do. When we do this, then our faith is increased. And when faith is increased, our outer lives change. So with that said, I want to leave you with my much-anticipated faith formula. You guys ready? It's complicated. So Amber's faith formula. So we start with asking. Putting it out there to God, Spirit, the universe, whatever it is that you call, that which is greater than you, outside of you, inside of you, we ask. And we minus tell. We're not telling. We're not dictating what it is. We're asking. Then we add listening cubed. So that's listening times listening times listening. So that's a lot more listening. And remember, we're listening with our inner ears. So practicing, kind of honing in on that skill, that exercise. Plus receiving, being receptive, being open to what comes back to us, through us. Equals increased faith. Easy, right? Yeah. Piece of cake. And so for the next 24 days of Advent, I encourage you to exercise your faith muscle. I know I am. Utilizing this formula or come up with your own. And remember, just as it was for Jesus, faith is an inside job. And you, my friends, are spiritual butterflies having a caterpillar experience. Thank you.